You're now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
Pure chaos could be the only definition to describe the fifth race of the 2023 season for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. We come to Atlanta Motor Speedway, where we had a caution on the very first lap. We also passed the record for the most cautions in a race, and one of the most controversial moments we have seen in a very, very long time, an Xfinity Series race. We will talk about the final results as well as the biggest takeaways, both up and down, all around. All that will be covered in today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. And where do I start with this race? I felt like in the Truck Series race, I kind of rambled a little too long. There were some things I missed and maybe some things that could have been included, but I decided not to. This one, I'm not going to have a problem with that. This race is going to be locked in on a lot of people's minds from one thing or another, whether it's the exciting finish, whether it's all the chaos that happened throughout the race, or the number 92 of Josh Williams incident. I think that one will be the one that people will remember for a very, very long time. And if you missed out watching on this race, whoo, man, what a bad race for you to miss. We're going to be talking about all of it here on today's episode. The biggest takeaways, the biggest drivers in the race, both good and also bad. And believe me, we got a bunch of them here on this list. So without further ado, why don't we dive right into it for the fifth race of the 2023 season. Here's the race results for the Raptor King of Tough 250 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Alright, so in this race, it unfortunately ran into the same problems as the Truck Series race, as qualifying and practice was unfortunately rained out. The one car that missed the race was a number 74 of Dawson Cram. Just so much bad luck for this team. They just cannot honestly catch a break. Now they have another race where they don't even get a chance to qualify for it. And once again, the number 74 team will DNQ here in the Xfinity Series. We had 12 cautions for 68 laps. It was a high caution race, especially in the first half. I do believe in the first half of the race, 66% of it was ran under caution. Absolutely crazy. But we had 13 lead changes amongst 8 different drivers. Multiple drivers had opportunity to score stage points in this race. In the end, though, after all the craziness that happened, the best driver still won the race. And that was the number 21 of Austin Hill. Already gets his third victory of the 2023 season. After leading 103 laps, winning stage one, he is your winner here of the Raptor King of Tough 250 at Atlanta. What an incredible start here for the number 21 team. Richard Childress Racing picked up a phenomenal driver. If you guys remember, Austin Hill was with Ettore Racing down the Truck Series, and it was Richard Childress Racing who gave him a shot, and I'm pretty sure Richard Childress has a smile ear to ear just seeing how good his driver has been here at the beginning of this season. He won at Daytona, Las Vegas, and Atlanta Motor Speedway. Now, two of those races are super speedways, but give credit where credit is due. There's nobody down here in the Xfinity Series that's at the same level of super speedway talent as Austin Hill. I mean, we had Justin Haley for so many years just dominate at Daytona and Talladega. Now it feels like Austin Hill is coming in and taking over that spot. Just really good runs. And you know what? If he could duplicate something like that moving into the Cup Series, that's somebody that you want on your team. Because now the way the Cup Series is set up, win and get in. And if this driver can be really strong at those types of races, be a competitor at, let's say, the Daytona 500 or both of the Talladega races or even here at Atlanta, by all means, that's 6 potential races that he could win in the season. Now, granted, there's other races that he's been talented at, intermediate tracks, and also sometimes just the success in the Xfinity Series does not bleed on over into the Cup Series. I think a perfect example of that, unfortunately, has been Justin Haley. Just hasn't been as strong at super speedway races compared to the Xfinity series, but we're not going to talk about him right now. We're talking about Austin Hill. What he's doing right now and what that team is doing is just showing everyone that they are the team to beat. It's not Team Penske. It's not Joe Gibbs Racing. It's not Junior Motorsports. It's RCR. And Austin Hill is leading the brigade, and they're just throughout the race just looks strong from beginning to end. Even that finish, yes, it was very, very worrisome for if you were a 21 fan at that finish. We will talk about that here in a bit. But overall, still the strongest car in this race. Let's go through the rest of the top five. In the second spot, we have the number 11 of Daniel Hemric. Finishing third was the number 19 of Ryan Truex. Fourth, the number 48 of Parker Kligerman. And out of the top five was the number 98 of Riley Herbst. Daniel Hemric, the 2021 champion here in the Xfinity Series. Man, just hasn't been able to get a win ever since, and this was probably one of his closer opportunities, but if he would have won this race, it would have been under controversial circumstances, because now I can feel like I could talk about this finish, because the drivers who were involved in the finish finished 1, 2, and 4th, and here's what happened. So, coming to the finish line, it was between Parker Kligerman and Austin Hill. Again, the two strongest guys in the race. If there's anyone who could compete against that number 21 car, it was Parker Kligerman. However, Daniel Hemric was the pusher behind them, but he wanted to be a part of that mix. He goes high, bumps into the number 48 of Parker Kligerman. Parker Kligerman gets sideways, goes into the number 21 car of Austin Hill. Austin Hill is able to keep the car straight, while unfortunately for Parker Kligerman, he gets spun around. Now, when I explain that, it almost sounds like Brian Vickers from 2006. And as great as it was for Brian Vickers to get his first ever win, that's just not the way you want to get a victory. So Daniel Hemric coming that close, at the same time, all of us are kind of thinking to ourselves, thank goodness he wasn't the one who got the victory. Still, great run by him, but that's definitely not the way you want to win. But it gave us a really, really good finish. Parker Kligerman, unfortunate for him. His car was for the most part clean throughout the race, and then gets destroyed there at the very end. He won stage two. He led 5 laps. I've been saying it over and over and over again in the Truck Series that he deserved a full-time ride in either the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series. This is why. Look how good he's just been running with this 48 team. And this 48 team is, I would say, a technical alliance team. I almost said a developmental team, but that's not true. A technical alliance team to one of the stronger teams in the Xfinity Series. But they have been up there almost every single race, and that's very impressive for the number 48 car. And Parker Kligerman, he's going to be a contender here for the playoffs. He's showing it. He's been right there in that mix almost every single race. I think his competition are people like Riley Herbst, Daniel Hemric, who we just talked about, maybe Sam Mayer. He's competing against those guys to make it into the Xfinity Series playoffs. And by all means, he's looking stronger than them at most races. So great job for Parker Kligerman on that. Ryan Truex, he's been making the most out of his opportunities here in the number 19 car. As you guys are aware, Ryan Truex, I do believe, is only running 6 races here down in the Xfinity Series for Joe Gibbs Racing. Still, he's trying to get that victory. I know these part-time drivers want to do everything they can to win in the little races that they have with the team, but he was there in the mix the whole entire time there at the end. Unfortunately, at that point, going into turns 3 and 4, it was going to be a Chevrolet that won the race, but he stayed really close, and he was able to nab one of those positions from Parker Kligerman since he got sideways. So to finish in the top three, that's still something to be proud of for all the Ryan Truex fans. Finishing fifth was Riley Herbst. Riley Herbst needed a consistent race, and he had it from beginning to end, finishing fifth in stage one, second in stage two, led 11 laps. It was a good race for Riley Herbst. Still trying to get that victory, but sometimes you got to find the golden nuggets along the path, and I think Riley Herbst was able to find that today. Just a very consistent run from beginning to end. Absolutely needed. He was the strongest car out of the Stewart Haas Racing Group. He was ahead of Cole Custer for the entire race, was a factor for the victory, and that's all you can really ask for from someone trying to search their first win. So great top five finish. That's going to give him a lot of points and give him a little bit more momentum going into the next few races. Let's round out the rest of the top 10. We have Brett Moffitt in the number 25 finishing 6th, Josh Berry in the number 8 finishing 7th, John Hunter Nemechek in the number 20 finishing 8th, the number 1 of Sam Mayer finishes 9th, and rounding out the top 10, we have the number 10 of Justin Haley. Junior Motorsports cars were not really the strongest and weren't really a factor there near the end. Yes, some of them had strong points. Josh Berry, he was able to score stage points. Brandon Jones was able to finish third in stage number two and lead 10 laps, but unfortunately he was not there at the end. They just really weren't a factor like we expected them to be. And that's kind of a pretty shocking thing, but I guess as far as Chevrolets go, the strongest teams when it comes to these races have been RCR and Colic Racing. Junior Motorsports has been dominating the intermediate tracks and short tracks while these guys have been taking over. So just missing it a little bit here, but to get two of their cars in the top 10 and in a very chaotic race, I'd say that's all right. I wouldn't say it's spectacular, but it's all right for them. Brett Moffitt showing once again why he deserves to be in full-time rides. I mean, this 25-team AM Racing has to be super happy with the driver they picked up, because back down in the Truck Series, they were not the strongest team by any means. I mean, they were trying to finish inside the top 20 in those Truck Series races. Now they move up here into the Xfinity Series, and you got Brett Moffitt consistently running around inside the top 10. I mean, what more can you ask for? This is a great first year for this team, and Brett Moffitt is showing to everyone why he still deserves to be around behind the wheel. I mean, just great performance all around here. Definitely going to be really hard for them to make it into the playoffs, but they are putting everyone on blast that, hey, this small little team here, brand spanking new, still competing against you guys, and that is saying a lot. Let's give a shout out to some other drivers who had some really good finishes here that we need to mention. Let's talk about our boy here, the one and only Anthony Alfredo. Anthony Alfredo was able to lead 18 laps in this race, finished fifth in stage two, and the only reason why he didn't get a top 10 finish was because they suffered mechanical problems on the last lap. Horrible luck for the team, but what a phenomenal run. I think at one point, it was a very small part, but at one point, they were the strongest car on the field. BJ McLeod Motorsport is not a big team, and for them to be on the inside lane for quite a few laps, still passing people, having one of the smoothest running cars, that's incredible. I was around this team. They don't have much resources there. They've already lost a car with the number 99 of Garrett Smithley. That was really shame to see that happen. But this 78 team, they picked up a great driver with Anthony. There's a reason why I really like him. I think he moved up into the Cup Series way too quickly, but now he has found a spot here at McLeod, BJ McLeod Motorsports. They're picking up sponsorships, and after a great run like that, man, they got to be happy. They got to be sitting on cloud nine. I don't think it will be long before they get a top 10. I know for some of these teams, they're thinking about, oh, you got to get a victory, you got to get a victory. But for a small, small team like this, top 10s will be victories for them. And they were so close, just unfortunately mechanical problems there near the end. Sheldon Creed had himself a really good run. Just unfortunate that he was not able to finish. I mean, second in stage one, fourth in stage two. He was at the same level as Austin Hill, maybe just one level off. Just one level off, that was it. And just could not get the finish that he deserved. Just a heartbreaker for him. And man, I don't know what else he needs to do to get his first victory. He has the fast cars. He has the talent. Just cannot seal the deal. Getting your first win's the hardest. And if you want to ask anyone how hard it is, ask Sheldon Creed, because my goodness, he is struggling to get that first win. Other people in the top 20, we have the number 6 of Brandon Poole. JD Motorsports have been having some rough finishes, so for them to get in the top 15, that's definitely good. And then you have the 08 of Gray Galding, able to finish 20th. How about that for that team? A team who's gotten some last place finishes this year due to some accidents. So, hey, a top 20, man, that's a step in the right direction for sure. And also give a shout out to Chandler Smith. Even though, unfortunately, he had some rear gear issues, he has done a justice for this number 16 car. I think a few people were worried about AJ Allmendinger leaving the car, because Allmendinger did a great job in that number 16 machine, trying to get into the championship for him as a rookie. Almost gets a victory at Las Vegas, runs really well in this race. If he does not have any mechanical problems, I'm pretty sure he finishes in the top five. I'm pretty sure he's in that mix with Daniel Hemric running for the victory. And as a rookie, this has just been very, very great for him. I don't know how he's going to do at the road courses. I don't think road courses are really that big for him down the Truck Series, but intermediate tracks, he's got it dialed in. And unfortunately for him, just to get those rear gear issues in the middle of the race, bit of a heartbreaker, but again, he's showing everyone how good he is, and he is going to do big things here with Colic Racing. Now that we talked about the drivers who did great, why don't we talk about some of the drivers who absolutely struggled here? Let's first start off with Joey Gase. Another really, really rough finish. Wrecks out on lap number one. 51 team, Patrick Emerlin and Joey Gase have just had themselves a rough start to the season. Definitely feeling the heat with it being a two-car team. I think last year they were just a one-car team, and they had the 53 car come in for like, I don't know, like 5 to 10 races. It wasn't really that many. Now they're trying to have both cars run full-time, and it's definitely doing a number on the team. It really, really is. So a bit of a bummer for them to have some poor finishes like that. And to finish 37th out on lap number one, that's got to be really, really rough. And then you got Alpha Prime Racing. All their cars ran into some problems here in this race. Just could not catch a break to save their lives. The number 66 machine was part of that accident. Granted, that's MBM Motorsports, but you had Cesar behind the wheel, who is an owner of Alpha Prime Racing, so you know there was an alliance there. He finishes 38th. Jeffrey Earnhardt gets into an accident on lap number 11. He finishes 34th. Sage Karam gets into an accident. He has radiator issues, so he finishes 31st. And then you have Ryan Ellis as the best runner in that race, and he still only finishes 23rd. Being the three-car team, they're another team that's getting a lot of heat right now, and it worries me. You know, you hear about these teams just expanding more and more and more cars, and sometimes people think that that's a great thing, but it's showing it right here. It sometimes puts a little bit too much pressure on the team, and for them to keep having rough finishes with multiple cars, it makes you kind of worried. You're hoping that they still have the funding. You hope that sponsorship wants to stay with them. And if they keep having poor finishes like that, that could become a factor. Not saying it is right now, but to have all their cars struggle as bad as they did multiple times in the season this early, we're only on race number 5. That's got to add some major concern for all the Alpha Prime fans. Now let's talk about controversial moments. I've talked about the good, the bad. Now let's talk about the ugly, or as many would say, the glamorous. Let's talk about Josh Williams. Josh Williams stole the show here in this race. So let me tell you what happened here. So it was a cold, cold weekend at Atlanta Motor Speedway. They weren't expecting that. They were expecting a lot of heat. And just the weather this year, it's been absolutely crazy. Don't believe me? Look at the West Coast race. Look at Fontana. There was snow in the mountains. They've never seen that before. Anyways, cold weather here at Atlanta. He gets caught up in an accident on lap number 28. So they're already having a bad day. That wreck on lap number 28 took out Kyle Weatherman, Jeb Burton, and Josh Williams. Josh Williams has a lot of damage, and they're doing everything they can to keep the car together. They got this bare bond on there, but unfortunately, due to the cold air, it just doesn't want to stick. Goes out on the racetrack, and then debris goes out just 2 laps in, and they figure it's from the number 92 car, and then NASCAR gives the call to park him for the rest of the race because they littered the racetrack. Now, most fans have never heard of this call before. I've seen it happen before. I think it was all the way back in 2015, where you had the number 98 car in the Cup Series come out, and what they did was, I think they stuck an oil pan underneath the car, just trying to make sure that oil didn't spill on the track, and then their oil pan fell out, and everyone was like, what the hell are you guys doing? I think that was Jay Robinson Racing. It was a bad look. And then, in one of the Daytona 500s, you have William Byron come out onto the racetrack. His car is destroyed. They're trying to beat the crash clock, and they have debris fly off their car, and it causes more issues. So, they've been trying to do their best to limit the amount of cautions that come from debris flying off of cars where the team did not put the car together good enough. So, a call like this was going to eventually happen. It was just a really bad call to happen for Josh Williams because it wasn't really their fault. They did everything they could. It wasn't like they were rushing the job. It just wouldn't stick. The weather would not allow it. And they tell him, park it. No penalty. Just park it. You're done. And Josh Williams is just arguing. The team is arguing. And NASCAR just stuck their heels in and said, nope, you were getting penalized and you were done for the day. Where Josh Williams responds with, okay, you want me to park it? I'll park it right here. He parks it on the start-finish line, gets out of his car, throws up the peace sign, and walks off the racetrack down pit road. He has to go to the care center, and NASCAR holds him in the holler for the entire race. Oh my goodness. The most talked about thing. It was such a badass move on Josh Williams' part, but you know he's going to get in big trouble for this. I'm suspecting a suspension. And if I was up at NASCAR as one of the decision makers for that, I'd probably be asking for a suspension as well. Hopefully it's only one race. Now, here's the reason why I say that. It's not because I have anything against Josh Williams. It's not like I have anything against what he did. In fact, I thought it was just as awesome as everyone else thought it was. They have to make a point across that you can't be doing this. You cannot get out on the racing surface and walk away like that. I don't care if it was under caution. I don't care if it was, well, red flag would be different. But you have moving cars out on the field, and you are basically protesting the middle of the race. That just doesn't look good for the sport. Someone's going to come out as a loser, and 99% of the time, NASCAR's going to be one, if not the loser in that situation. So, Josh Williams, respect the hell out of him. He's gained so many fans. Even the sponsorships were backing him up, so everyone was on his side. It was a BS call, but unfortunately, expect a suspension to come from Josh Williams for getting out of the car like that and walking away. He probably should get penalized for that, but he made his point across and let NASCAR know, hey, we are sick of these BS calls, and you guys got to get your stuff together. So, there's just nothing else to say. You just got to watch it. You just got to watch it. It's something that you're probably not going to see for a very, very long time, or probably never again. I mean, the last time I saw a protest that severe was Robbie Gordon back in 2007, where he just decided that he was just going to start in the second position. NASCAR threw up their hands, and he just spun out Marcus Ambrose, rode off into the sunset. Most bizarre incident ever, and this one's right up there with it. Please go watch the replays. Just go on Twitter. Josh Williams is proud of what he did, which rightfully so, but unfortunately, like I keep saying, he's going to get suspended for it. The racing itself, I'm not going to lie, for the first half, it was bad. It was really, really bad. Like I said, 66% of the race was ran under caution in the first half of the race. Everyone was wrecking. The longest stint of a green flag run was about 9 laps. And one thing that people always despise about super speedway races is they turn to wreck fest. And we had a wreck fest right here in this race. We had the early incident where we had Joey Gase and the number 66 of Cesar get into an accident. And then about 6 laps later, when they go back under green, you have a 3-car incident with the number 26 of Kaz Grala, Garrett Smithley, and the number 44 machine. And then just a few laps after that, you have the 02-27-92. Then after that, about 10 laps later, you have the number 91 and 35 make an cause an incident. And then it just kept going on and on. Like every 10, 15 laps maximum, you would have an accident. And that just never looks good for the sport. Luckily, in the second half, they really cleaned it up. The Xfinity Series has been kind of notorious for having a crazy first half and then a really clean second half. I don't know if it's just because younger drivers is trying to get up to the front or what it is, but that just seems to be the quota for the Xfinity Series. But first half, I got to give it like a 2 out of 10. Minus the Josh Williams thing, that's a 10 out of 10. But watchability, that would just get annoying real quickly. The ending, though, was pretty damn interesting just to see the multiple lines race. Bottom line at some points would be faster, top line would be faster, and the next go around, it's just whoever had the best pace going. And that's something you can always appreciate from a super speedway race. You hate the single train going around the top side of the racetrack. That's what it was like for a little bit. But near the end, they were able to go side by side and at some cases 3 wide. So at least we got ourselves the exciting finish that we wanted. And the right driver won the race. The right people who had the strongest cars were there at the end. So overall, the finish was spectacular. The drama was spectacular. So it's going to be a memorable race. But as far as a show altogether, it needs some cleaning up. Go watch the replays. Absolutely crazy. But Austin Hill is able to catch a huge victory at a somewhat chaotic race. That now gives him 3 victories in the year. So he's already locked in to run for a championship. That will conclude the final results for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Just a lot of stories definitely are going to be coming from the Xfinity Series race that happened on Saturday going into Circuit of the Americas. I bet you at least 3 drivers will have big stories going into that weekend. So definitely a fun race. Again, go watch the highlights. It's worth it. If you want to follow me on social media, I have three big social platforms there. It is Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. Just look up Vanilla Wafers. I will pop up. Getting ready to post a video on YouTube talking about recent driver injuries and how much it affected the sport moving forward. I'm mostly going to be talking about the drivers who substituted those injured drivers. How did those injured drivers perform after the injury? It was a lot of fun making it, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. I felt like I did a really good job with it. So again, if you want to follow me, TikTok, YouTube, or Twitter, just look up Vanilla Wafers. I will pop up. But we're going to wrap up the show right there. So thank you guys so much. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to lead you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.